Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and your love, and I pray that you would be with us this morning as we look at your word. Lord, may we be challenged and encouraged in your grace, mercy, and your love for each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I trust that you had a good Thanksgiving time to celebrate. I know last week as I was talking to people, God must have just done this, just sent everyone that was leaving for this weekend, traveling to family, all came to see me. And so I sort of had a picture of getting up here and there would be no one in the audience because it seemed like everybody I talked to, oh yeah, we're going to see this person, we're going to Idaho, we're doing this and that, but it is good to see you here this morning. It would have been lonely if I was here alone, so I'm not. That's good. I trust you had a great Thanksgiving. And, you know, we like to think about food at Thanksgiving. Well, I like, maybe you don't, but I like to think about food at Thanksgiving. I saw a couple humorous anecdotes about eating that popped up here around Thanksgiving time. One is an old saying by Andy Rooney: the two biggest sellers in any bookstore are the cookbooks and the diet books. The cookbooks tell you how to prepare the food, and the diet books tell you how not to eat any of it. So I thought that was a good one. And then I saw a study that was done by a scientist. They compiled and computed that the average human being eats 16 times his or her own weight on an average year, while a horse eats 8 times its weight. So that proves that if you want to lose weight, you should eat like a horse. So somebody says, you eat like a horse, say thank you. I'd appreciate your concern, right? All right. So when we think of Thanksgiving, we always think of the two F's, right? Food and football. But we need to make sure that thankfulness is the focus of our celebration. And demonstrating thankfulness can be difficult. Maybe it's the busyness of life, or maybe it's the difficult circumstances that we face. We often do not give thanks. In this morning's close encounter, we find a meeting between Jesus and a group of 10 lepers found in Luke chapter 17. And Jesus performed a miracle in healing the 10. But if you know the story, only one came back to give thanks. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, follow along as I read, it says this: Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village, and there he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So let's give a little bit of the story here. And if you remember, over the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at people in the Gospels who've had close encounters with Jesus Christ and how those close encounters radically changed their lives. And without Jesus, these 10 lepers had no hope. When a person contracted leprosy, or they call it Hansen's disease now, they had several difficulties. One, they had little hope of recovery. They did not have the medical technology we have today, and there was little hope for a cure for these lepers. And they were outcasts of society. A leper was unclean and could not come in contact with others. According to their laws, a leper could not come within 6 feet of a healthy person. And that number, or that distance, went up to 150 feet if the wind was blowing from the direction of the leper. In fact, some leaders suggested that if people saw lepers, they should throw rocks at them to make sure they stayed a safe distance away. They were not allowed in Jerusalem or other walled cities. The only contamination that was considered worse than leprosy, according to the Jewish law, was that of touching a dead body. So we see that these people had little hope of a cure, that they were considered outcasts of society, and they were ostracized from their families and their friends and their neighborhood. But also, we see that leprosy was considered divine judgment. Not only was the current situation of a leper that of an outcast, but the disease called into question their character. Oh, that person has leprosy. I wonder what they did. God must really hate them. They must have lived a horrible life to have that judgment of God upon them. And so these people that were lepers had little hope, little to look forward to. And then we see a little glimpse in the story, a little glimpse of hope, because they heard the rabbi, Jesus, was coming. And so as Jesus came, and it was on the outskirts of the city, and again, they were on the outskirts of the city because they were outcast, had to be away from the rest of the people. And it's interesting, it says, and they being afar off. Why? The distance that was required. Called out, Master, have mercy on us. A little glimmer of hope from a hopeless group. And so here they called out to Jesus, and Jesus' response was very interesting. He simply called for them to go and see the priest. Now, when we read that, you may say, well, that's strange. But there's really a powerful message behind it, because the priest was the one who could declare them clean. If you had any type of skin disease, and many of them were temporary, but they would, you know, be set out from the city for a period of time, usually 7 days, but if it cleared up, they could go back and they could see the priest, and when they went back to see the priest could say, you're declared clean, and they could go back into society. And so when Jesus was telling these 10, go and see the priest, it gave them the hope that the priest would declare them clean. And they would no longer be outcast. They'd be healed from this disease of leprosy. Now, it took faith. Because Jesus didn't say, you notice he didn't say, you are healed, now go see the priest. He just said, go see the priest. And their faith, believing what they had not yet seen, caused them to begin their journey to go and see the priest. And it says, and on their way, they were cleansed. They were healed. Now, 9 of them just continued on. But one of them turned around, went back, and thanked Jesus. And it's interesting, and there's nothing in the Bible by mistake. You know, God didn't allow stuff to be put in that didn't have an important meaning. You know, if you're like me, remember research papers or, you know, papers you had to do in school had to be 5 pages? I would tend to find things that really probably weren't that powerfully relevant to the story, but it could make it closer to the 5 pages. God didn't have a certain length that the Bible needed to be in. I'll just throw in a little bit of fluff here and there. No, it says the one was a Samaritan. And Jesus, in his response, saying, why is this guy, there are 10, now only one's back, and he's a foreigner. Where are the other 9? You see, the Samaritan even had, he was like a double outcast. He was a leper and a half-breed. A double outcast. But yet the one that we would think had the worst case was the one who was willing to come back and thank Jesus. And so he came back, and let's get a little picture of what's taking place. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. He's going there for the Passover. And if you remember Jezer's geography, right? Anybody remember that from a couple weeks ago? Right? Jesus' geography, here's Galilee, here's Samaria, down here's Jerusalem, right? And Jerusalem's a little easier to see, at least for me today, than it was last week, maybe. But so he was coming down and he went through and it connects with John chapter 11. In fact, between verse 10 and verse 11 of Luke 17, we see that John 11 takes place. And John 11 is when Jesus went to see Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and actually Lazarus had died. And if you go back to the John 11, it said that Jesus said, well, we must go through Samaria, and the disciples thought, we must be in a big hurry. Then they took their time and got there 4 days after Lazarus had died, but then Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And so that had all just happened. And now they're beginning their trek again to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And so as they do that, they come to the outskirts of this town, an unnamed town that they're coming to, and these lepers are there on the edge of town calling out for Jesus to have mercy. But only one of the 10 was willing to come back, and that one was a Samaritan. But the amazing thing that we forget to think about is actually there were two miracles in this story. The first miracle took place in the lives of the 10 as they were physically healed from their leprosy. But the second one was even a greater miracle. And that's that the one had his sins forgiven and his eternal destiny changed. Because as we read there in the end of that last verse, and Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Your sins forgiven. Two miracles. But thankfulness. We struggle with thankfulness. We have Thanksgiving, which is a reminder and a great reminder for us, but Thanksgiving should be something that is a regular habit in our lives. We are to be people that are known for our gratitude, and we have a great deal to be thankful for. No matter our circumstances, we have a lot to be thankful for. And so we see that it's easy to come up with excuses. And since there were 9 guys that didn't go back and thank Jesus, I have 9 excuses that they could have given, 9 reasons why they didn't go back and thank Jesus. And we'll sort of count them down, and I don't know that they're all in an order of how often they're used, but I think the last one is the most used one in our lives. But let's look at these 9 excuses they may have given. Excuse number 9, I'm not sure I really had leprosy. I mean, since, you know, I had the symptoms, but I think it might have been something much less dangerous that just sort of seemed like leprosy, but it really wasn't. Excuse number 8, you know, I probably would have gotten well in time anyway. You know, it was just a matter of time before I would have kicked this disease. Number 7, any rabbi could have done it. I mean, there are lots of other people who could have done what Jesus did, so I don't need to really thank him. Number 6, yeah, I was already feeling better. You know, I've been working hard, I've been eating right, exercising, I've been using some essential oils, and I could feel that things were beginning to work. Number 5, you know, I need to make sure I'm really healed before I give thanks. I mean, you know, the change may just be a temporary thing, and I may be back with my former issues shortly. So I better make sure that this healing is permanent before I really stop and drop everything and give thanks. Number 4, I've already lost a lot of time dealing with my leprosy, so I have other things that I need to do. You know, I've just wasted a lot of my life with the restrictions that have been caused by this leprosy. So I need to get back to living. I don't have time. I need to check back in with my family and friends and just make sure I have fun. I've lost a lot of time. I need to catch up. Number 3, I didn't deserve being sick in the first place. I mean, God should have not allowed me to have leprosy. Now that I'm healed, I'm just where I should have been all along. So why thank him? I mean, I should be angry because he caused me to miss this part of my life with this disease. Number two, not having leprosy is great, but I have a lot of other things to worry about. You know, I can check that problem off my prayer list, but I just need to focus now on the many other problems that I face. And number one, I'll get around to it later. I think that's the most common excuse. I'm too busy, but I'll thank him later. And oftentimes in our lives, when we see the goodness of God, we can fall into these or other excuses. But we must put aside our excuses and give thanks. It's important to give thanks. I must learn to be thankful or I can become bitter. When I only focus on the negative and don't reflect on the blessings, I will become a bitter person. And going along with that, I must learn to be thankful or I'll become discouraged. With no gratitude in my life, the negative will overwhelm me and I will be discouraged in all areas of my life. You know, the old hymn, Count Your Blessings. If you remember the words to that song, it says, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your blessings. You must recognize that whether you're in the on top of the mountain, everything's going great, or if you're in the deepest valley, we're still called to give thanks. We don't just give thanks when things are going perfectly. There are a lot of things to be thankful for, even when we're facing a difficult time. And that leper recognized that although he could look back and say, you know, it wasn't fair that I had leprosy, it wasn't fair that the Jews consider me an outcast as a Samaritan, I need to thank the God who has given me so much. And that's what he chose to do. Another reason why it's important to give thanks is that I must learn to be thankful or I will become and grow proud. When I don't recognize all that God and others have done for me, I'll give myself undue credit for the many blessings I receive. You know, I earned this. I deserve it. We live in an entitled society. We get something, we say, well, yeah, it's about time. Instead of saying, yes, thank you, God. We get the promotion at work and we say, you know, well, I should have gotten it last year. It's about time they figured out that I deserve this. Instead of stopping and thanking God. When we get that extra special blessing, it's so easy to say, well, you know, yeah, I deserve that. Rather than say, thank you, God, for giving me this special blessing. You see, giving thanks is a choice. Whether we don't because we feel that life has been unfair and we become like Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh fame and waiting for the next bad thing to happen. Or whether we think, you know, I deserve everything I've gotten, so why thank someone else or thank God because I worked for this. I deserve this. Without giving thanks, we become ungrateful, bitter, discouraged, proud people. Doesn't sound like a very good list, does it? God challenges us to be thankful. And God's Word tells us that we're to be thankful at all times. You see, thankfulness should be a regular part of our routine, not just on a special day or when we have some downtime and we're not too busy. We should be thankful at all times. And we are to give thanks in all circumstances. Paul tells us in Ephesians and again in 1 Thessalonians and other places, in everything give thanks. Even in the difficult times and the bad circumstances, we can be thankful. We can be thankful that God can use those circumstances to strengthen us. We can be thankful that God will walk with us through those darkest valleys. And we can be thankful that our trials are short term and our hope is eternal. We can give thanks, no matter if we're on the top of the mountain or in the bottom of the valley. A pastor in the 1600s, Martin Reichert, was a pastor in Germany, and he worked really hard, and he became a pastor in his hometown. He was very excited about the ministry, and his pastorate started 1 year before the 30-year war began there, a 30-year war that just tore apart their community in that region of Germany. And so he began his ministry 1 year before the war broke out, and he ministered for 32 years. And so he only had two out of the 32 years where his community was not facing incredible war. But not only was there the war, we also find that as he was ministering there in his town, that they would have many people come in, and so there was always a shortage of food because of the protection of the city, that small protection that that gave. But they also had a plague that swept through their community. And they said that for a while there over 50 people per day died in this not very large town. In fact, it was said that in 1 year he performed over 4,500 funerals, including the funeral of his wife. But Martin recognized that even in those darkest valleys, he had a great deal to be thankful for. In fact, he's probably most famous for writing the song, "Now Thank We All Our God." Listen to some of the words that he wrote in this song. It says, "Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom the world rejoices." It goes on to say, "Keep us in his grace and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next." He could write those words of thanksgiving in the darkest of times because he recognized that God could use those difficulties to mold him and to strengthen him. He recognized that God walked alongside him even in those darkest valleys, and he knew that those trials were short-term, were temporary, but his hope was eternal. And you may be here this morning, and you're on the mountaintop. Everything's going well. She said yes, or you got the promotion. Your finances are doing well, your relationships are great, your health is good. Or maybe you're here this morning and the doctor gave you some bad news, or a close friend or relative doesn't have much hope physically. Or maybe you find that the month is longer than the money as you look at the checkbook. Or maybe you find that the relationship is rocky, and no matter how hard you try, everything just seems to be getting worse. But even in the darkest valley, you can give thanks. You see, giving thanks is a choice. And it's not a choice that we make on a certain weekend in the fourth Thursday of November, but it's a choice that we're called to make each and every day. To be people known for our gratitude, to give thanks no matter our circumstances. We are to be thankful people. But if you're like me, it's really easy to just sort of say, "Well, yeah, you know, I'm busy. I'll get to it later." Or, "You know, I've got so many things to worry about, I don't stop and give thanks for all the things I can rejoice about." The book of Hebrews shares about who Jesus Christ is And it's an amazing story as we find that Christ is greater than just a list of things and people, that Jesus Christ is greater. And the people struggling, the Jews are struggling, is this the Messiah? And the author of Hebrews lists all the things where Jesus is greater than anything else. He is the Son of God. And it's interesting that the book is 13 chapters long, as we've divided it out into the chapters. And right near the end, it says in chapter 13 and verse 15 that we are to give a sacrifice of praise with thanksgiving. We're called to do that. So this morning, we're going to do that. We have our elementary students are going to come in also, and so they're going to take part in this, and then they will come back and sit with you. So if you have an elementary student, they get to sit by you for the rest of the service. But on the edge of each row, there are some cards there underneath that seat on the edge of the row. And what I want you to do is I want you to take and write out something you're thankful for. Because here's what will happen. If I say, all right, I want you to take this card home, and this afternoon or this week, write out something. If you're like me, you'll put it in your Bible and you'll get busy. So we're giving you a couple minutes right now. And you're going to write down something you're thankful for. You don't need to sign it. We're not going to put them out on Facebook, nothing like that. All right, but you're going to write down something you are thankful to God for. And in just a minute, we're going to have you come up front. Now, if you have an offering today, you can bring that up also along with your card and drop it in one of these three baskets up front. The worship team is going to play a little music, and you can write. And then when you are ready, you're going to come up and give your offering of praise to God, as well as your tithe and offering financially, as you honor God with your finances. So let's pray and ask for God's blessing, and then write things that we are thankful for, and let's give a great offering of praise this morning. Father, we are so grateful that you, as Almighty God, love us. And Lord, your grace is sufficient even in our darkest hour. And Lord, wherever we are in life, help us recognize the incredible blessings we have through you. Lord, may it not just be something that we think about on a special holiday, but Lord, may it be something that we have the habit of doing each and every day, the habit of giving thanks and demonstrating gratitude for all we have in you. And Lord, the things that you allow others around us to do to bless us. Lord, help us to be thankful people. Help us not to be like the nine and get busy or distracted. But Lord, help us to be like the one who desires to give thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.